We have 31 board members present. That is a quorum. Let's continue with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand for that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I have a few things under the chair's report. First of all, the County Board Picnic sign-up sheet is going around. If you are interested in that, it is next month during or on County Board Day. Remember, we're meeting in the morning that day at 9 o'clock. County Board Picnic would follow that at Neshonic, which is where we've been the last couple of years. $12 per person. If you're interested, please sign up. Like your money at soon as possible, but at least get your name on the list so we know how many to plan for. Next, the Sustainable Commission appointments. That resolution is coming up later in the agenda, assuming that that passes. Anybody who's interested, please let my office know as soon as possible. Next deadline, the WCA convention registration. Remember, that is here in September, so if you're interested, we need to get you signed up. The deadline for that is coming up very quickly, July 24th, so it'll be, what, next week, I suppose. So please notify my office. I think at this point, probably only have about 8 or 10 people signed up for that. We like to have a good turnout, especially, you know, given that it's in our county here. So please, if you're interested, notify the chair's office as soon as possible. Let's see. Supervisor conference reports. Anybody have anything? Arlene.
Thank you, Chairman. Let's see. Tuesday and Wednesday, ITPIC had a conference up at Lac des Flambeaux, and there were like around 50-plus people there, and there were four of us drove from La Crosse and four or five drove from up in Monroe County. So there was like 9 or 10 that represented our ITPIC. Mike Blaska, who is the Director of Programs and Services for WCA, talked somewhat, and AAA is a benefit that county board members can get a reduced if they want to join AAA through WCA. And then he made different statements like spending exceeds our income and we borrow more money than what we can pay back and we're not keeping up. We're living longer, they're saying an extra 25 years of life. Middle age is 50 to 70, that's 61% population in the workforce. There's increased elderly in the workplace, medical field shortage. The current deficit, this is something that just came out, $6.7 billion. Wisconsin has the worst deficit in the nation. Wisconsin also has one of the worst bond ratings in the nation. So us in La Crosse should be very thankful of the bond rating we do have. When it's 14 years running of structural deficits. Between 2002 and 2006, it was 112% deficit. We need to work together with WCA and other organizations. We need leadership long term. We need solutions. What we need to succeed is demographic recognition and economics. Difficult decisions and investments. Tax structure is out of line. We're just getting by. Federal funds to states will be reduced. Also, political parties will weaken. Many changes in energy, wind, and solar. So that was really the bad news that we did get from there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Benrud. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was also at that conference. I'll just give you a brief update who the speakers were and the topics. Michael Blaska, Director of Program Services, Wisconsin and County Associates, spoke on the Wisconsin Day update. Gary Paul Green from the Department of Rural Sociology, Center for Community and Economic Development, spoke on the status of Wisconsin's economic in the future. Larry McDonald, the City of Bayfield Mayor, he spoke on substantial communities. An update by Daryl Mayfair on sheltered workshop opportunities. an update on Park Falls paper products. That was a very interesting report. Because the project will produce millions of dollars in diesel fuel, wax, and biofuels just from the wood, which is a renewable resource. They already have marketing contracts for the products they will produce. In closing, Dave Domke, who is field representative for the WCA, who most of you know, is also an ordained minister. He gave a nice little a salute to Mitzi Parr, who you know, most of you know, is in very grave health. We said a little prayer, and we dedicated the conference to Mitzi.
On that topic, Mr. Sobranek, you had another follow-up thing you wanted to make.
Yes, Mitzi's health is deteriorating. She's not the same she was a week ago. She's going downhill. She's to the point now where if anybody wants to call her, especially wants to go visit her, it'd probably be recommended that you call first to see if she's able to receive company, and if she is, I'm sure she will. She has some good days and some bad days, but the situation is grave.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sobranek. Margaret Wood, did I see your hand up?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last week I attended the joint annual conference put on by the Wisconsin Public Health Association and the Wisconsin Association of Local Health Departments and Boards, on which I sit. So I'm just going to report a little bit about looking backward, looking forward. Many of you have probably heard that the latest statistics and ratings we've had are now out, and it's about 2008. So Wisconsin's health was ranked 17th among the states in 2008, down from 12th place in 2007 and third in 1990. And this is done by the well-regarded United Health Foundation. The latest ranking is consistent with our 2007 Health of Wisconsin report card, which graded Wisconsin as a B- in general overall health, but a D for health disparity, which reflects the fact that many people would think that health is a condition of race and culture, but the findings are that it's really a socioeconomic disparity that we have. To make a big difference in our health grades, we have to address the following: the way we act, smoking and substance abuse, nutrition and physical activities, driving habits, violence, and risky sexual behavior, our social and physical environment, including child development, education, employment, income and poverty, housing, environmental quality, and social connectedness, and our health care and public health systems. And we have to act in all of these areas, not just a few. And then looking forward to a healthiest Wisconsin 2020, the vision is everyone living better longer, with the mission of to protect and promote the health of the people of Wisconsin, with the goals of improving health across the lifespan and achieving health equity. So we have a lot of work to do.
Thank you. Don Vina.
I thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to remind you one last time, the fair started out at West Salem yesterday. It's going on today. We had the Secretary of Ag out there today with the governor, as well as the Secretary of DOT from the National. There was a big crowd out there. Some of the guys couldn't even find a parking place around the buildings. They had to go way across the street. So we had a big crowd this morning. Hopefully, we were talking about health. All our animals are healthy. They've been all tested. They've been run through the gamut, and they were showing hogs when I left this afternoon. So I hope we'll see you all out at the fair. I think I counted about 8 county board members out there this morning. So I hope you all come out.
The real highlight of the fair is going to be Friday at 6 p.m. The county board chair is participating in a goat milking contest. Didn't say no quick enough, so come and cheer me on, please. I saw hands over here. Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first week in July, I attended the National Association of Local Boards of Health's annual conference in Philadelphia. We had several presenters from CDC, and it was really good to get a whole national perspective on things. Some of the topics covered were public health response to climate change, the role of law in public health, oral health needs, epidemiology, and tobacco control. The fire's kind of gone out of that tobacco control thing because we feel like we've passed the tipping point. The most startling thing I heard was about influenza, and you keep hearing that in the fall it's going to get worse. I think I understand that a little bit better now. The Southern Hemisphere is currently in their flu season now, and what they're afraid of is that whatever flu they have will collide with our H1N1, and then they're also afraid that the H5N1 avian flu will get mixed into it during our flu season, and the potential for mutation and spread is very high. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And then, of course, we had dessert while discussing obesity. And Nalba paid all my expenses, so I had 4th of July in Philadelphia. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Okay. There's a thing that the IT department, the county clerk, Steve O'Malley, and I have been working on, having to do with a voting program or replacing the voting program here. And Linda's going to talk a little bit about that to show you some options we're looking at. And if you're interested in commenting on it, if you like some options better than others, talk to Linda or myself after the meeting. We're not going to do a vote or a debate on it. She just wants to show you real quickly some of the different formats that we're looking at.
Yes, IT is just wants to get an idea of what kind of scene you would like to see on your screens when the new voting system is implemented. And right now she's given us 4 options. This one, as you can see, is the waterfront and La Crosse. This one is the Bluffs. A sunset. We're pretty sure we don't want this one. It's Madison. And the good old Liberty Bell. So we do actually have just a couple of printouts of these, which I can pass around as well, and you can all give us your opinion at any time. Thank you.
Jamie from IT had also offered the possibility of the six-pack from over at the brewery, but we thought that might create the wrong impression, so we're not going to go that route. All right, so Linda will pass those around. People can take a look at it and let us know afterwards informally what you think. I think that's all I had. Does anybody have anything else? All right, let's go on to Deputy Administrator Report, Gary Ingleson. As you know, our administrator is not here. He is doing the Habitat for Humanity, the Habitat 500 bike ride this week, and we'll have him back next time. Gary?
I do not have anything to report.
Is there a motion to make Mr. Ingleson our new county administrator? Cards of correspondence, as always, are over there. Take a look at the board. Committee meetings during recess, I have not heard that there will be any, so that gets us to the consent agenda. Is there a motion on that? Mr. Plesha moves, seconded by Mr. Sobranek. Any corrections or questions on the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That gets us to planning, resource, and development. Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we start, our meeting was a little different this time. We had 2 no-shows, and those people will have to pay the fee again, and it'll come up next month. Why they didn't show up, they certainly know they should. The other thing is we dealt with a situation in West Salem, and Mr. Manthai excused himself from the board, the committee, and sat on sidelines. And just I think he wanted to talk, but he didn't, so...
He restrained himself? That's a good Dennis.
So we try to do that in the order we were told to. Okay, we have item 27, after-the-fact conditional use permit number 796 filed by the Village of West Salem, acting on behalf of Irwin Noodleman and the Noodleman Trust to store limbs, brush, leaves, and grass clippings and to perform composing in the town of Hamilton. The committee voted unanimous to approve this, subject to 12 conditions, which are called out on your in your packet. I move for your approval.
Move by Mr. Meyer to approve the committee report, which included 12 conditions. Seconded by Mr. Bina. We're going to do this one on the computer, so if you are in favor, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no, unless there are any questions. Sorry about that. Any questions? Pardon? Okay. Vote on the computer. That passes on a vote of 30-0 with one abstention. The rest of them we're just going to do orally unless there's any request for it being recorded. So go on to the next one, Mr. Meyer.
Item 3-7, petition number 1814, filed by Gary R. Butterfield, trustee of the William F. Bassett Reclamation Living Trust, to rezone agriculture B to agriculture A in the town of Farmington. The committee voted unanimous to approve this, and the deed restrictions have to be filed before it will become effective. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve. Second by Mr. Monti. Any discussion or questions on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 4-7. As a conditional use permit number 797 filed by Tom A. and Roxanne Grosskup, acting on behalf of Advanced Planning Technologies, to run a computer-based company on land zone Agriculture District A in the town of Hamilton. That was approved by unanimous vote and has seven conditions on it, which were accepted by the petitioner. I move for your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, seconded by Mr. Rauch to approve the committee report, which is to approve. Any questions or comments on that one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item number 5-7, conditional use permit number 798, filed by John G. and Ann M. Stasek, acting on behalf of J&S Express Transfer Incorporated, to operate a custom farming and trucking business on land zone agriculture district A in the town of Unalaska. This was approved by the committee by unanimous vote, and it's subject to 8 conditions put on the petition. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, subject to 8 conditions. Seconded by Leon Paff. Any questions or discussion on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. One more for you, Mr. Meyer.
We have a resolution 6-7, whereas in pursuant to section 157.07 Wisconsin's statutes, the county board is required to approve said cemetery plot before it can be duly recorded in the officer register's deed. Now, there be it resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the plot of Sand Creek Cemetery, the town of Burns, La Crosse County. There's no fiscal impact to La Crosse County. I move your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, seconded by Mr. Monti. Any questions or comments on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's it for today.
Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I first have an ordinance, which is item 7-7. This is the second reading of an ordinance to create section 1.78. to be entitled Sustainable La Crosse Commission of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. This is an ordinance that creates a special commission of La Crosse County to be known as the Sustainable La Crosse Commission. Under the ordinance, the Sustainable La Crosse Commission would have 9 members. Their terms of office would be 2 years. Duties and powers of the commission shall include regularly reviewing progress of implementing the strategic plan for sustainability, coordinating the sustainability plan review and revision on a 2 to 5 year cycle, making recommendations on funding related to sustainability issues, making policy recommendations, networking with community members, coordinating educational opportunities, and contribute to public awareness and utilization of the sustainability website. The commission will report to Planning Resources and Development Committee of La Crosse County. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Brad Conkle. Any questions or discussion on this item? Jeff Schrader.
I don't see any representation here by the townships. Is that...
Jay Johnson, you want to respond to that?
Can somebody tell me about that?
You know, we originally started with the county and the city working together, and we've expanded that now to include the city of Onalaska on this commission. Ultimately, we would like to see the townships involved, but we haven't approached them about it. So I'm hoping that this committee will grow and evolve over time, but it wasn't something that the oversight committee felt we were ready to do at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like definition of paragraph F. It says four citizen members selected by applicant process by the members listed in subs A and E, which is the county board chair and the mayor of Onalaska. Does they appoint two each, or what is the process?
I'll let Mr. Shepherd answer that one.
I thought I'd, is that better? Thank you. The members, I guess the permanent members, if you will, that are that hold those offices listed in A through E are the ones that would come up with some kind of unanimous consent, I would guess. Although I suppose if there's a disagreement, majority rule would prevail. So it's the collective group rather than individually.
Probably like an initial organizational meeting, and then at that of just that group, and then those people would select the people for the full group, so that the next meeting could be the real thing. I guess might be one way of doing it. So, Jeff Schrader.
I guess I didn't hear all of Supervisor Johnson's comments on that. Did you say that you had been out to the townships and presented this to them?
No, she said that was really a further step that, you know, initially it was the city and the county together, and then the city of Onalaska also decided to join in. If the towns are interested, that certainly could be something that would increase the size of the membership at any point in the future that the towns may have an interest. I would suggest that perhaps the Towns Association at its upcoming meeting or one after that may want to take a look at this and see if they would be interested in participating.
Either that or have someone from the commission at town board meetings.
Sure. Yeah, I think this is supposed to be as inclusive as possible as time goes on and not intended to exclude anyone. So. Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously. Again, anybody who's interested, let my office know.
And would that include members of the public who might want to serve as citizen members?
Absolutely. Thank you for clarifying that. Mm-hmm. Any county board members and any members of the public interested, please contact the chair's office.
Next, I have item 8-7 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding acceptance of Clifton Gunderson's audit report on La Crosse County's 2008 comprehensive annual financial report. Whereas the audit firm of Clifton Gunderson and Company has recently completed their audit of our financial statements for the year ending December 31, 2008, and the financial audit and management letter was presented to the La Crosse County Board at our planning meeting on July 6th. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby accepts the financial audit and management letter as presented for the 2008 fiscal year. The fiscal note is that Clifton Gunderson's fee for 2008 audit services will not exceed $63,750, for which money is budgeted in the 2009 budget and allocated across several departments. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Tom Rauch. Discussion, questions? Ralph Geary.
Geary, thank you. Are you planning on any significant changes on how you do things in any areas next year based on this audit?
Not anything significant, no.
Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 9-7 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of amendment to contract for purchase of clay from Bar Property. Whereas Resolution 40-7-05 adopted July 21, 2005 by the La Crosse County Board authorized the purchase of up to 385,000 cubic yards of clay from the Bar Property, and whereas La Crosse County has purchased approximately 140,000 cubic yards of clay from the Bar source, and there is still a need to utilize clay for future needs at the landfill site, and whereas it is recommended that the contract be amended to provide that La Crosse County shall accept up to 120,000 cubic yards of clay from the Bar site until the end of 2009, and La Crosse County will pay an additional $30,000 to compensate St. Joseph Construction Company for early closure of the clay borrow area and for costs incurred by St. Joseph Construction Company in preparing this site to provide a significantly larger quantity of clay. And whereas the cost for obtaining the clay is not included in the Solid Waste Department 2009 budget, now therefore be it resolved that the County Board Chair and County Clerk are hereby authorized to execute the amendment to the agreement between La Crosse County, St. Joseph Construction Company, and the Bar Property owner to obligate the county to obtain no more than an additional 120,000 cubic yards of clay and pay St. Joseph Construction Company $30,000 in addition to the clay purchase after review and approval by Corporation Counsel. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve that funds will be utilized in the La Crosse County Solid Waste Department undesignated balance to pay for the purchase of clay from the Bar Property for future landfill needs, and the Finance Department is authorized to make the necessary budget adjustments. Fiscal note is if 120,000 cubic yards of clay are purchased and the total cost for the clay would, the total cost for the clay would be approximately $1.3 million. Monies will be utilized from the Solid Waste Department undesignated fund balance. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Vicki Burke. Questions or comments? John Menninger.
This is an ongoing relationship that we have with Bar on this clay. Is that why it wasn't put out for competitive bid, because it's an ongoing process?
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
There is a contract that goes back to 2006 that's ongoing, and in that contract we state that we could excavate approximately up to 400,000 cubic yards of clay. So one of the purposes of this is to end that relationship, not to expand it, and come to an agreement of a specific amount of clay, or not to exceed amount of clay, plus some costs for site closure. So that we're not, this is already included in the original contract. We're trying to close it up, basically.
Just one more question. I noticed in reading the memo from Gary Engelson that there was some problem with the clay having rocks in it. Has that been resolved, or?
Gary?
Certainly on any new clay that we accept, we're going to make sure that they exclude sizable rocks from what we receive, yes.
Don Vina.
Well, I guess I was kind of curious. I wasn't in any of this negotiation, but I think we had a heck of a time finding clay that was of the quality we found, because we were moving clay in for the landfill from Minnesota, and that trucking charge was tremendous. We found it here, and now we're saying we don't want all the clay that we agreed to take. And I don't know. I haven't talked to Mr. Barr about it. and I haven't talked to anybody about it, but why do you think, Bill, that we only need 120 tons or whatever you have?
Cubic yards.
Okay. Where we were going to get 400 before. Why the difference all of a sudden here? Because we can't find that clay anyplace else. And that's the question.
I think that Hank Cook would be the best person to answer that question.
And Gary can also comment on it. Hank, why don't you come up while Gary's putting his two cents worth in?
Hank and myself and Dave Lang were the primary ones that were negotiating the the closure of this contract, and Hank hopefully can answer your specific question.
Okay. If I understand your question, is why shouldn't we purchase the full 305,000 yards since we've identified that source? There's a couple factors that we looked at carefully. After we entered into that contract, a number of other people came forward and said they had clay, and we saw other opportunities in the future. We also saw that there was clay on property adjacent to the landfill. We don't own that property. As we looked at the amount of clay and some of the problems we had with that clay, we felt that it may not be in the interest of the county to have all of that clay on the property. Technology changes. We may not need as much clay with the synthetic liners we're using in the future, and we may end up committing all our money to clay that we might not use in the future. So we're changing our position. The other thing that did happen that was very important to the county, during the waste relocation project, when we removed the old landfill, we found about 30,000 to 40,000 yards of extra clay that we didn't expect to find that we salvaged from that old site. And so we want to reduce the amount of clay we're buying from Barr since we found some on the site.
Well, if that's the case, I guess I don't have any problem with it, but I don't really want to get into closing the site and then finding out 2 years from now that we need clay, and you can't use all clay. You know, I got a farm on the ridge, and my clay isn't going to qualify for, you know, there's only clay in certain places, and if you got to truck it long distances, that trucking cost is going to eat you up in years to come. So if you're sure you got enough, I don't have any problem, but if you're unsure and 2 years from now come for 100,000 more, let's, you know, then you're going to have to renegotiate and open up or something. But if you're right, then I don't have any problem with it. Okay.
I've got plenty, and if you replace it with black dirt, you can have all you want. Further discussion? No, replace it with black dirt. Further discussion or questions? Anybody have any? All right. All in. This requires a two-thirds vote, by the way. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I move we go into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin State Statute Section 19.85, Parent 1, Parent G, conferring with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved, to wit the claim of the estate of William Harder, Amanda Stenberg, Erica Hubbell, and Joshua Harder.
Move to go into closed session by Tara Johnson. Is there a second? Second by Jeff Schrader. John Menninger, did you have a comment first?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to put this at the end of the agenda rather than disrupt the meeting in the middle.
I think we're only going to be about 5 or 10 minutes.
All right.
But good point otherwise. For the information of the media and guests, we do not expect this to take long, and we will not take any votes in closed session. All in favor going to closed session as read and noted on the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Okay, we are back in open session. For the benefit of the media and the public, we discussed the item that was listed on the agenda. No votes were taken in closed session, and we are now to item 10-7, Tara Johnson.
A resolution to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding the claim of the estate of William Harder, Amanda Stenberg, Erica Hubbell, and Joshua Harder. Whereas the estates of the aforementioned are alleging that La Crosse County was negligent in not properly maintaining the sidewalk area on the south side of Clinton Street, La Crosse, Wisconsin, resulting in the death of William E. Harder on December 31st, 2008, and the claimants are seeking damages in the total amount of $625,000 against the county. And whereas Wisconsin Municipal Mutual Insurance Company, known as WMIC, has reviewed the information, investigated the facts, and recommended formal disallowance of this claim by the La Crosse County Board. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the claims of the estate of William E. Harder, Amanda Stenberg, Erica Hubble, and Joshua Harder against La Crosse County, its officers, officials, employees, and agents are hereby disallowed, and notice of disallowance of the claim shall be served on each of the claimants by registered or certified mail, and the receipt thereof signed by the claimants or the returned registered letter shall be proof of service. Be it further resolved that the claimants are notified that no action on the claims against La Crosse County nor against any of its officers, officials, agents, or employees may be brought after 6 months from the date of service of the notice of disallowance, and the notice of disallowance shall contain a statement to that effect. Fiscal note is there is no cost to La Crosse County. I move its approval.
Moved by Chair Johnson, second by Tom Rauch. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson? Thank you. That gets us to Aging and Long-Term Care Committee. Roger Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 11-7, approval of acceptance of the bequests from the estate of Daryl S. Larson and the estate of Myrna Ray Miller. Whereas La Crosse County may accept donations, gifts, or grants from any public governmental purpose within the powers of the county pursuant to Wisconsin statutes 59.52 parent 19, and whereas La Crosse County was named beneficiary of an insurance policy in the Myrna Ray Miller estate for the benefit of Meals on Wheels nutrition program in West Salem, Wisconsin, and whereas La Crosse County Aging Unit was a beneficiary of the bequest in the estate of Daryl S. Larson with the funds to be segregated in the Aging Trust Fund and not to be part of the general fund of La Crosse County. Whereas the board immediately managing the government governing the La Crosse Aging Unit is the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, now therefore be it resolved that the permitted use of the gifts as designated in the estate of Myrna Ray Miller and the estate of Daryl S. Larson are for public governmental purposes within the powers of La Crosse County and are thereby accepted by the county board. Fiscal note in this, insurance proceeds from the Miller estate is $5,064.36, and the amount received from the Larson estate is undetermined at this time. The last will and testament provides that 15% of the estate be given to La Crosse County Aging Unit Trust Fund. I move for its approval.
Moved by Roger Plesha, seconded by Brad Paff. Any discussion or questions on this? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Plesha?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Health and Human Services Board, Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item number 12-7, urging immediate passage of comprehensive federal health reform legislation. Whereas experts from across the political spectrum agree that America's health system is broken and unsustainable in its present configuration, whereas 2,000 families in La Crosse County are experiencing this crisis right now, confronting the high cost of health care that threatens their financial stability, leaves them exposed to higher premiums and deductibles, and puts them at risk for a possible loss of health insurance. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors endorses NACO's health reform principles, namely that reform legislation should restore the partnership between county and federal governments, provide access to affordable quality health care to all, invest in public health, including health promotion and disease and injury prevention, stabilize and strengthen the local health care safety net system, especially Medicaid and disproportional share hospital payments, invest in the development of the health professional and paraprofessional workforce, ensure that county health agencies have the resources to meaningfully use health information technology, enable elderly and disabled persons to receive the services they need in the least restrictive environment, and reform the delivery and financing of health services in the jail system. Be it further resolved that the board strongly urges the 111th Congress of the United States to enact comprehensive health reform legislation without delay before the end of its first session. Be it further resolved that this resolution be sent to President Obama, U.S. Senators Feingold and Cole, U.S. Representative Kine, National Counties Association, and Wisconsin Counties Association. fiscal note, there is no fiscal obligation for the county. I move its approval.
Moved by moved by Sharon Hampson. Seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Oh,
wait, I'm sorry, Mr. Geary, you had your hand going up as I called for the vote.
Yeah, thank you. That fiscal note is kind of unusual. I didn't know that they had finalized on the plan. What if they have a cost share for the county? What if they're funding, you know, like they do a lot of 80-20s and 90-10s and stuff like this? What does this mean? I didn't know that they had a...
What it says is there's no fiscal obligation for this resolution. All we're doing is encouraging passage of health care reform.
Did I see any other hands? Joe Bilskemper.
Is this the reform that will tax businesses an 8% payroll tax?
It's not endorsing any plan in particular. NACO put this out and asked counties across the country to express their support to say that we need health care reform. It's not proposing any one or another particular plan.
But I think I understand that the plan that's going before Congress imposes an 8% payroll tax, kind of like Social Security.
Yeah, there's competing ones at this point. Each house, I think, has its own version right now.
Yeah, it's certainly not finalized. It's just encouraging passage, just recognizing that there is a huge problem, something needs to be done now.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. I'm a little uncomfortable with it, too, because while the intent of this resolution is, as Ms. Hansen explained, timing-wise, right now, it could very well be interpreted as endorsement of this plan that's we know a bit about but not a whole lot about. And I was hesitating whether to vote for it or just to abstain. I'm not in opposition to comprehensive health care reform, but timing-wise, I'm a little concerned that it can be taken as an endorsement of the current proposal that no one has really studied.
Any further
around here.
Any further discussion? Ralph Geary.
Back to that fiscal note, I was unaware that 8%. Would that apply to us on payroll? Would we pay 8% more then? Or is that just for private business? No, I mean, in addition to what we are paying.
Joe Bilskemper?
I understand the one plan has an 8, it's paid by the employer, not the employee.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. One no, that's Joe Bilskemper. Audrey Cotter?
Abstain.
And Audrey Cotter abstains. All right, that passes, and I think that's it then for Health and Human Services, so that gets us to Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee. Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 13-7, I ask that it be referred for 30 days.
Vicki Burke, the chair of that committee, asks that this be held over for 30 days. Any objection to that? Without objection, that'll be held over for 30 days. Public Works and Infrastructure, Mr. Spiker.
I think this is the earliest that this committee's had the floor, Mr. Chairman.
We always save the best for last, Chuck.
I heard that before. Approval for a bid for sanitary landfill maintenance garage construction. It was approved unanimously by the committee, 6-0. One person was excused. Whereas there is a need for the construction of a new maintenance garage at the La Crosse County Sanitary Landfill. La Crosse County is obligated to construct such a garage pursuant to the 2008 operations contract. Whereas La Crosse County has requested bids for construction of new maintenance garage, including water supply, waste disposal, and adjacent parking areas. And where sealed bids were received and public opened on July 1, 2009. Whereas said bids had been reviewed for qualifications of bidders and costs by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, whereas the project was included in La Crosse County's 2009 solid waste budget. Now, therefore, be resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the bid of Olympic Builders General Contractors Incorporated in the amount of $601,800 for for Project B09 Maintenance Garage Construction with additional 5% contingency fee of $30,090 for a total of $631,690. Be it further resolved, the County Board Chair is hereby authorized to execute any agreements to accomplish and work in accordance with specifications and a bid submitted after approval by the Corporation Council. Should I read all the bids, Mr. Chairman?
No, I don't think you need to.
Okay. Fiscal note, funds for the project are budgeted in landfill renovation org 6510 earthwork construction account 64106. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, seconded by Mr. Burns. Discussion on this item? Jeff Schrader.
I wasn't at the meeting, and I guess what equipment do we have out there that needs maintaining, and will it be just our equipment that is maintained in that building?
Well, can you answer that? You heard the question?
Yes.
Okay.
The county does not operate the landfill site St. Joe's does. And prior to the change in our operating contract in 2008, when we were going out for bids, we decided that we would get the best bids from operational contractors if we said that the county would provide a shop that they can maintain their equipment in. We also put a wash bay in there after we consulted with the Highway Department, Jim Spiropoulos, so that our lawn mowing equipment, our tractors, our vehicles can be washed and a light maintenance, preventive maintenance can be done in that shop for our light equipment.
So we're maintaining, or St. Joe's maintaining their equipment in our building, is that correct?
Okay. Yes, St. Joe's is maintaining their equipment in our building. That is occurring right now in our older shop. Also.
Any other questions? Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there any requirements or requests to do a green building, plumbing, electrical, heating in this garage?
The green aspects of this building were looked at, and the orientation of the building was chosen to provide passive heating with a southern view. After consulting with the facilities department, they suggested that we put in-floor heating that could be potentially powered with landfill gas. There was also a design in the building that was incorporated a chimney for waste oil heating in the building. So there were a number of green concepts that were incorporated in the building. The other concept that was incorporated was the collection of roof water off the drains to go into a tank that would be used for the wash water rather than taking water out of the water supply system.
And that was included in there? Those specs were in the bids that they bid?
Yes.
And these bids met those, or were these optional?
The in-floor heating was optional, and it was chosen to be implemented.
Thank you.
That was the only optional one.
Joe Billings.
This isn't my bailiwick, so I don't understand why we have contractual obligation to provide a building for someone else's equipment. Could you explain that to me, please?
Sure. That's a little hard one. As 2008 was approaching and we were deciding how to bid the new operational contract for the landfill, we were faced with three or four choices. One of them was that we could provide a building for the heavy equipment maintenance, that the contractor would use the building. We felt that that option would lower the price of the operational contract. Another choice we looked at was that we would have the contractor provide a necessary building that he would put up and do his maintenance in his own building. That led to some issues regarding maintenance, aesthetics, a few other things. It also, we came to realize that that was going to increase the cost of our contract because we'd be paying him for the building. we had a concern that if at some point during the contract he did not perform and we kicked him off the site, what do we do with his building? Is he going to tow it off the site or we're going to have a problem? We looked at another option saying that we won't require a building. And I've been at some landfills where they tried to do field repair of equipment and it was atrocious. And so we said that's not an option. We need a building that this heavy equipment is repaired in and that we need a wash bay for this also. So we went through those options. We felt in the best interest of the county would provide the building. We did that before we let the bids and said that that would be our obligation. We then let the bids, and now we need to provide that building.
So you're saying in the long run, this is the best deal that we could come up with. It saved us money.
From what I've seen in the waste industry, yes. This is in the best interest of the county to own that building and provide it. And I would like to comment. We have a clause in there that says we inspect the building on a monthly basis and we retain $5,000 a month from the operator. If he does any damage to the building that he does not immediately repair, then we have the right under our contract to effect those repairs and withhold that money and use it as such.
Thank you.
John Menninger.
I have two questions, but the contractor does provide us. What does the contractor provide us for use of that building? The St. Joseph's equipment, do they provide anything?
Yes. They provide the heat for the building. In other words, they have to provide the fuel. They have to pay for the water. They have to pay for the electricity. That's all separately metered and monitored. They are responsible for that. They are also responsible for the maintenance of the building while they are using it. And as I mentioned, we'll inspect that and make sure it's maintained.
Okay. Well, that really wasn't my question. That was my seatmates, but I asked it for them. My question is some of these contractors are that bid on it are union and non-union. No matter who gets the bid in this situation, it's Olympic Builders, they have to pay this. These are all prevailing wage jobs, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then my other question is, when I think of the addition to the jail, and we have a law enforcement construction committee, you know, to some extent we're micromanaging the construction of that jail, looking at, you know, solar hot water heaters and bioretention. And you know, I think that's okay because, in this situation. In the construction of this, I know it's only $600,000, but we are an eco-municipality. We do have this sustainability commission. Is the decisions being made on how the building is built to some extent with the cooperation of the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, or is who's making those decisions, whether it's how green it is and how green it isn't?
Originally, we brought the design through the Solid Waste Department. When Dennis Osgood took over as interim director, we worked through with the design with him. We went to his shop and compared some of the things he was doing. And I should back up a step. Before we even started the design of the facility, we went out and visited other landfill shops in the state and did a report back to the Solid Waste Department that these were the best aspects. Now, one thing you got to realize about a landfill shop, we have tremendous doors in them, three big doors that cover literally the whole side of the building. We open up one of those doors to let a piece of equipment in, we're going to lose our heat. It's hard to make that building green because of that. We looked at the things that we could affect, and there are some things that we did. We included those. We also ran the plans past Jim Spropoulos and facilities. He did make some additional suggestions, which we did incorporate. So we worked with Highway Department and, because of their shop and the things they knew, then we worked with Jim on that. So that's how best we tried to incorporate the green concepts.
Tom Rauch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It might just be a very obvious statement, but just to confirm, the contractor who gets to use that building is the one who is maintaining our landfill, and the equipment that he's going to maintain in that building never leaves our landfill. It's not other stuff that he's using elsewhere. It's that stuff that he uses on-site, and that equipment stays on-site. Is that correct?
For the most part, that is correct. This is an issue that Dennis Osgood has identified and I'm following up on. There have been instances where we believe perhaps our operating contractor is taking advantage of our site and is using it to stage other things for construction. We are not permitting that. And we will not permit the use of the shop for maintenance of his equipment that's doing construction in the area. That provides an unfair competitive advantage. He did come to us and ask to put a fueling station at there so that he could fuel his trucks that were in the area. We denied that and said we would not do that. So we will follow that. But the second part of your question there, all the equipment he uses at the landfill does not stay at the landfill. There's, for example, we have a backhoe out there today. We don't need that full time. So he'll bring that in. He'll do some work. He may do some maintenance on it, but then he'll take it off to another project. We may not see it for another month or two, and then he'll bring it back, et cetera. But the shop is also not designed to do major maintenance. He cannot use that shop to do a major overhaul of a compactor or a major engine or something like that. It's really meant to support the landfill operations, not to be a major equipment shop.
But the thrust of my question was, we're saving ourselves a lot of money by not having him bid for when his equipment needs the minor maintenance that we're going to have to haul it all the way back to the ridge to do that kind of minor maintenance and then bring it back to our landfill.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, Ms. Cook, the build, what percent of the building will be used by our contractor and what percent of the building will be used by our solid waste department?
I don't have the exact numbers. There's three bays. Two of those bays will be for heavy equipment for the landfill. One of the bays will be a wash bay, and we will use it 50-50 with the contractor. There's a small office. There's a small meeting room. There's a utility room. All of that the contractor will use. There is a storage room that's in the building that we are going to use, and we've asked the contractor. We said, you have to provide the heat and the light for that. We're going to use that for our storage of materials, and he agreed to that.
Okay, thank you. So there's no county trucks in the building, just small equipment and other things?
The only county trucks that would be in there would be pickups, small vehicles of that nature, and we would not leave them in there overnight.
Okay, thank you.
Joe Veenstra.
Following up a little bit on Supervisor Wood's question about the greenness of the construction project, and not particularly related to this because it sounds like there was a real attempt to make it reasonably green, I guess, but is there some process maybe we should incorporate that for contracts for construction projects that Nick Nichols or someone reviews them and maybe makes suggestions prior to finalizing them so that, you know, we're just keeping our eye on the prize?
I think that's a good idea, and I'm going to ask Gary that when Steve gets back, if you sit down with him and let's work out something and let's let the board know what
yes,
how that process is going to work.
I will follow up on that.
That's a good idea. Leanne Paff.
Thank you. I got one suggestion if they want to come to it. Nope. It's on.
Is it?
Is this one?
No, it's
on.
It didn't sound like it.
I'm just going to say that the Solid Waste Committee does meet, and we had a meeting as well. It's still not working. If anyone wants to come to the Solid Waste Committee meeting, we're having another one. Our annual meeting is in August. What date is it, Hank?
August 19th.
And this stuff would inform people on more things if they want to come to the Solid Waste Committee meetings that we do have. They're all posted. Come on out.
Okay, so if you want to have a chance to talk trash, there's your opportunity.
That's what we do all day, talk trash.
Jeff Schrader.
Hank, how many pieces of equipment are going to be using this thing? How many pieces of equipment are on the landfill site?
The contractor has two major compactors on site. He has anywhere from two to three dozers, depending upon what we're doing at the time. He has two major front-end loaders. He has a water truck. He has a Mobark shredder. And then he has a couple smaller pieces of equipment like sweepers and a couple smaller tractors. La Crosse County out at the landfill has two smaller tractors like a John Deere. We have three pickup trucks, and that's about it.
Okay, anybody else have any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. One no, Tara Johnson. That Jeff Schrader, was that a no also?
That's a no also.
Okay, two no's. It passes. And is that it for you, Mr. Spiker?
Yes, sir.
All right, then we get to items for future agenda. Anybody have any of those or announcements? Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just a quick announcement. We have on our desks a document that does an analysis comparison between dry detention ponds and bioretention. And on the back of it, there's a side-by-side comparison. And I can get, my question is, because we have to, we're going to be looking at this on a future agenda for the LEC building project. What is the source of this document? Where did it come from?
Anybody know?
Mary Jo.
Mary Jo? Okay.
Good.
Mary Jo Webster from our Land Conservation Department.
Land Conservation Department. Thank you.
So I would ask people to hold on to this. You'll want that for next month. Tara Johnson?
I'm not sure if this is a referral for this meeting or perhaps a referral to a committee like executive committee, but I think Supervisor Burns's question prompted a reminder to me that it would be very helpful if we knew in general what sits on our desk when we get here from whence it cometh. Because we, especially at budget time, I'm remembering we get stacks of things, which is great, but it would be helpful to know the source of them. So maybe somebody can look at a way to mark that for us or consider some, you know, guideline. I don't know what it would be, but if we can if we can look at that, that would be helpful. If somebody would look at that and make some decisions about marking and labeling
Linda,
sources of documents.
See what we can do?
Thank you.
On that note, it's my understanding, because a little bird sitting next to me told me, many of you still have the audit report sitting in your lockers, which means you didn't read them ahead of time. So you may want to do that because that's exciting reading. Sharon Hampson.
Following up on what Tara said, it's bad practice to have these here waiting for us. Now, today it was only one sheet, but often it's a lot of sheets, and whenever possible, I'd like staff to get us the handouts in our packet so we have time to look at them.
Friday at noon, is it? Is your deadline? So please be sure your departments know, and I think they know it. It's just a lot of times it happens anyway. But Friday at noon is the deadline for getting things in the packet and getting out. Jeff Schrader.
This has been a problem, ongoing problem for years. So.
Right, yeah, and probably will continue to be, but we still want to work at it. Anybody else have anything? Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Collaboration conference, is that still on for the 21st? And where is it at? What time and so on?
It's at the Lunda Center next door over at WTC. That is that Friday starting at 9. That's on right. August. Yeah, it's not this month. It's August. But it is still on. Exactly. The day after the picnic. Thank you. Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When are you going to release the statistics on the volunteer days off, 1 to 3 days, for the whole county, I guess, not just supervisors?
Gary, do you know?
Mr. Taunt, the personnel office, has been compiling that data. We can certainly report back to the next county board meeting.
Well, I noticed that it has been activated on some people.
Okay.
So I guess I just wonder what is the figures then.
If we've got it in time for policy planning, we'll do it then. If not, we'll do it at next county board meeting. But yeah, Gary, if you can have him get that to us.
Sure.
I think that's a very good question.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Bob Kyle? Move to adjourn. Seconded by Jerry Sobranek. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously. Again, county board picnic. We'll take your money, please.